గౌరాంగే రాజే బృందావనేశ్వరి ఋషభాను సుతదేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. నమో మహావడన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌర శ్రీశ్రీ నమః. పంచాకల్పస్వరూభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యైవచ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో ఓం విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవారి పాశ్చాత్య దేశచారిణి. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసరి గౌర భక్తవింద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. బుద్ధి జ్ఞానం అసమ్మోహ క్షమాసత్యం ధమ సమ సుఖం దుఃఖం భవో భావో భయం చాభయం ఏవచ అహింస సమత తుష్టి తపోధానం యతో యత భవంతి భావ భూతానం మట్ట ఏవ సిత్త విదాహ. ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, నాలెడ్జ్, ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ డౌట్ అండ్ డిల్యూజన్, ఫర్గివ్నెస్, ట్రూత్ఫుల్నెస్, కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ ద సెన్సెస్, కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్, హ్యాపీనెస్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రెస్, బర్త్, డెత్, ఫియర్, ఫియర్లెస్నెస్, నాన్ వైలెన్స్, ఎకానిమిటీ, సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్, ఆస్టెరిటీ, చారిటీ, ఫేమ్ అండ్ ఇన్ఫమీ, ఆల్ దీస్ వేరియస్ క్వాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఆర్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై మీ అలోన్. Welcome to another discourse on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Thank you for coming. It's a Saturday holiday, some of school holiday. Prabhupada spoke what? I'm going to read that and try to explain something. Try our best. Please forgive us if we say something wrong. Purport by Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The different qualities of living entities, be they good or bad, are all created by Krishna and they are described here. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. And knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Ordinary knowledge obtained by university education pertains only to matter, and it is not accepted here as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs. Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete. So Prabhupada here says, intelligence is needed to analyze things. So we use our intelligence to discriminate, to see what is right, what is wrong, what is our duty in life, how we should act, how should we should behave. Not like, we shall come to some examples later, but we should not be acting like animals. Basically, intelligence we have, this intelligence we can use to discriminate. Animals don't have that propensity, don't have. Only human beings have that. We can tell the difference. Because animals, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, four things they do. We also do that, eat, sleep, mate and defend. So, what is the difference? So you must use the intelligence to say, am I the same as the animals? So intelligence is a power to analyze things as they are. So we use intelligence. We use the intelligence to gain knowledge. That's what Prabhupada is saying. To use, to get knowledge. But what kind of knowledge? There are two kinds of knowledge. One is ordinary material knowledge that all of us go to school and we acquire this knowledge. And Prabhupada says, this knowledge is no use, because when the body is finished, this knowledge is also finished. Nothing is left. But there's another knowledge, the Prabhupada hints. This knowledge is called spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge allows us to distinguish ourselves from the animals. Oh yes, this is an animal, I'm a human being. I can do things, I can speak, I can discriminate between right and wrong. So this is the spiritual knowledge that you must cultivate. What is this spiritual knowledge? Spiritual knowledge means, who am I? I am spirit soul. Of course, first of all, we must understand we are not this body. Last night we were at another program. We gave almost the same class, because the problem with all of us, including karmis and devotees, is not easy to understand the difference between the body and the soul. Theoretically, we can say, devotees can say, I'm the soul. But we act on the platform of the body. We still do whatever we do. We always think, oh, I am so-and-so. I am so-and-so as my wife, so-and-so as my children, and so-and-so as my friend. But we never distinguish between the soul and the body. This is the spiritual knowledge that we must cultivate. I'm not the body, theoretically. How do I know that? When I'm sleeping, I don't remember this body. I dream, I go to different countries, I take a plane, sometimes a tiger is chasing me, sometimes ghosts are disturbing me, I have a nightmare. And that during that dream, you don't think, oh, I'm this person, oh, something is happening to me. But when you awake, then you say, oh, phew, that was a dream. Luckily, nothing to do with me. Again, when you wake up, you identify yourself with the body. Then you say, oh, it's me, or I, that was a dream. No. But when you sleep, you go back to earth. You forget this body. You don't identify yourself with this body anymore. That's one thing. Then you understand that you are not the body. The discrimination is there. Then you understand, what is this? Then you understand, what is the difference between the dead body and the live body? Dead body, no matter what you do, kick and all that, it's totally not going to wake up, you know. But the live body, you pinch the guy, he'll get up straight away. Consciousness is present in the live body. Life, alive. The person is alive, you know he's conscious. How we know? He's breathing. Sometimes you go and see, knock the door and see, Haribol, wake up. Is he dead or alive? See, oh, he's breathing, his chest is moving, his stomach is moving. Sometimes he turns and, you know this guy is alive. Otherwise, how do you know? Don't know, right? The daytime, how do you know it's daytime? Do you go outside and see the sun yourself? No, you open the window already, you know, light is there. So, by seeing the light, you know there's sun. So, by seeing the consciousness, you know there's soul in the body. That's how we distinguish that there is a soul in the body. This is spiritual knowledge. If there's a soul, and this soul is individual soul, all of us are individual. No one can say what I'm thinking now. No one knows what is going on in my mind. Similarly, I cannot say what is going on in your mind. So many things are going on in your mind. How do I know? Because I'm an individual person trapped in this body. You're an individual person trapped in your body. Embodied soul. All of us have a body. Can be a human body, can be a plant body, can be animal body. It doesn't matter, but you are in a body. And you're trapped. So, since we know we are all individual souls, then somebody must have created us, right? Somebody must have given us this body and placed us in this body. Who's that? That is the supreme soul, super soul, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So, we know. Now we can understand that this is spiritual knowledge. We are trying to gain this knowledge. Understanding this knowledge through association, through reading books. Krishna is kind. He has given us the books, he has given us Vaishnavas, he has given us Guru. So through all this means we can understand who we are, who is God. And then Guru teach you, Shastras teach you how to connect with God. Sambandham, sambandham, the relationship, how you develop that love. So right now, we only love ourselves. That's a fact. Whatever happens, we love ourselves. If you are drowning, you want to save yourself. The 10 people drowning, you kick the other fellow and you come out to the up out of the water to save yourself, because you love yourself the most. After that, you love your husband, wife, children, extended. After that, first it's yourself. You love yourself. Because we always love ourselves through many, many lifetimes, we find it difficult to love another person. We love this body so much. We don't want to love anybody else. Oh, this is my body. This is mine. Everything is mine. Nothing is yours. You get out. This is my property. That's why it's made defending, you know, for one of the four propensities of animals, no? Defend. My house. Outside the door, you can do anything you want. You come inside, you get out. You cannot do anything. Similarly, we must understand that clearly that this is not our body, theoretically at least, and through association, we must know who is God. And when we start doing this, then we love God. Start doing devotional activities, we love God. That is the only way. The other thing Prabhupada was said here is, Krishna is the created everything. He is the source of all these things. Everything, this knowledge also, Krishna is the source. He is the sarva karana karana, cause of all causes. You can say material causes, Krishna is the cause. Spiritual one, also Krishna is the cause. How did this whole thing come about? How did we come here? It's like water, you know, raindrops. In the sky, the raindrop is pure. But when the rain drops and falls on the ground, it gets muddy. So, similarly, we are from the spiritual world, but when we come into the material world, we become muddy. We get a body. This body is a mud that covers our soul. So what happens? Because we want to enjoy. We have a lot of desires in our heart. All these desires can only be fulfilled in this material world, not in the spiritual world. Spiritual world, you can only satisfy the desire of Lord Sri Krishna. He is the supreme enjoyer. Right? We are all being enjoyed by Him. So, sometimes we don't like, you know, why are you using me? I don't like. So I said, okay, I come down. So Krishna is kind. He says, okay, you don't want to serve me, I'll give you some facilities to enjoy. So Krishna does what? He expands himself. He expands himself, this material world. He creates one corner of the spiritual kingdom, he creates this material kingdom. He enters into the material kingdom as Karana Dakshayi Vishnu. He enters into it, and he lies down there, and he breathes, a lot of universes come out from his body due to his breathing out, right? So like that. And into each of this universe, Krishna enters again as Gargodakshayi Vishnu. And when he enters into this, he lies on water, and from his navel, a lotus flower blooms, and on top of the lotus flower, Lord Brahma appears. That's why Lord Brahma is called Aja. No birth, no father, no mother. That's why he's Lord Brahma, the firstborn. So Brahma, knowing that all the living entities are all waiting, you know, I want to enjoy, I want to enjoy, I want to enjoy. So Brahma says, okay, I will create. He'll create all the Prajapatis, the yogis, the Saukumaras, all the different people who created. And these people were told to create, populate the whole universe. Why? So that all of us have a chance to enjoy ourselves. So that's how we all get bodies. So first, when you first come, you get human body. Because Krishna gives you chance, first chance. Use the human body, know about me, go back to God, go back to Krishna. But you're foolish. I don't want. I want to enjoy. So when you enjoy, you go down, right down, 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 down to the one cell animal. Protozoa, amoeba. Like slowly then you go up. Plant, worm, animal, human being, demigod. You go through 8,400,000 species of life. Wow. Even if you did it once, that's a long time, isn't it? 8,400,000, no. Even if each life is spent 1 year, that's 8,400,000 years. That's a lot. Long, long time. But we have done this many times. We are used to this. We don't care. Our heart is so full of this nonsense desire, we refuse to get out. We have gone through 8,400,000 times, many, many times. Probably 8,400,000 times 8,400,000 times. Who knows? Probably more, times 10, who knows? Times power of 10, we don't know. We are foolish. We don't understand that we cannot enjoy ourselves in this material world. But still we do it. So, Prabhupada says, get knowledge. This knowledge is not ordinary knowledge, but spiritual knowledge. That's what you want. That's what you should get. And you get it from the devotees, from the scriptures. We'll continue. Aso moha, freedom from doubt and delusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant. And when he understands the transcendental philosophy, slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution. Now this is very important. When you get spiritual knowledge, you will not hesitate. You know what is right, what is wrong. You get the transcendental philosophy, you know what is right and what is wrong. But Prabhupada says, don't accept blindly. Don't be a fool. Take things with care and caution. Don't just because I said so, everybody say, oh yes, this is right. No. You should use your intelligence. Again, intelligence is important. You should test whether this is right or wrong. How do you know the fruit I give you is sweet? If I tell you the fruit comes from this tree, and this tree produces very nice fruit, then you will accept it. The proof of the pudding is in eating it. You know this tree produces good fruit when you eat the fruit. And yes, see, this tree is a good tree, not a tree that doesn't produce good things. It's a good tree. So we must be careful. How? We must seek out. We must test. We must ask questions for those few persons who claim to be spiritually advanced. Some people will say, I am Bhagavan, please come and pray to me. Are you Bhagavan? How you test? You ask. You show me the Virat Rupa form. You show me the Vishva Rupa form. Prabhupada says, you must show, ask them. Show me. Krishna showed. Arjuna asked, show me the form, or if a universal form, show me. Krishna said, okay, I show you. But anybody else claim to be like that, you must test them, ask them, are you Bhagavan? Show me. Tell me the truth. If anybody else don't say that, reject them, kick them out. That's why Prabhupada wrote this book, Bhagavad Gita, not just any Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavad Gita as it is. Why? This Bhagavad Gita comes in disciplic succession. Disciplic succession means Krishna spoke to Brahma, Brahma spoke to Narada, Narada spoke to Vyasa, Vyasa spoke like this, down, 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 to the present. Everybody is speaking directly to their disciples. Not that, you know, I just make up my mind and say, okay, today I am the guru. I start my own movement. No, that is bogus. That's nonsense. There's no connection with Krishna. Kick this fellow out. Shouldn't accept this. Shama, tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Trinadapi sunichena sarorapi sagishnuna. Amanina manadina itaneya sadahari. Trinadapi sunichena. Must be more tolerant than a tree. The tree, you look at the tree. Tree is growing nicely. Never disturb anybody. It doesn't do anything. But it does many things. It produces fruit for you to eat. It gives shelter for you to take. Hot sun, you go under the tree, very cooling. You want something, you cut the branch for firewood. But the tree doesn't make any noise. Very tolerant. You want take, you take. You want do this, you do that. You chop me down, also never mind. Does it come and say, oh, Hariva Prabhu, why? You cut me, why? No, tolerant. Then, the second verse is, you must be more humbler than a grass. The grass, when the wind blows, it just goes down. When you step on it, it just goes down. Humble. That is the meaning of humble. You have to be very humble. You have to accept all kinds of nonsense from everybody and use your mind and intelligence to think of Krishna only. And in a helpless state, remember, helpless state of mind, you can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Only in a helpless state of mind you can do that. And then Krishna will hear. Not just, you know, sometimes we just, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Then you ask them, oh yeah, I finished my 16 rounds already. Finished, tie up, put in the somewhere else. I done my round. No, that means you are not chanting with love and devotion. You must chant with love and devotion and Krishna is pleased. Krishna knows, yes, this person is very sincere, not mechanical. If you want mechanical, just change, put on a tape recorder and put it outside in your room for 2 hours, then you say, I've done my 16 rounds. You can do that, no? Right? Everybody can do that. But that's not what Krishna wants. Krishna wants you to think of him all the time. But because this is Kali Yuga, Prabhupada has been very nice, give concession. You chant only 16 rounds. 2 hours a day, enough. By right you should be 24 hours thinking of Krishna. How is possible? Possible? Possible. But not easy to perform. It's possible. But do we want to do? Maybe, I don't know, I've got so many things to do, you know. So Prabhupada said, no, never mind, you just chant 16 rounds, 2 hours, enough. But, he never said forget. The reason for chanting is why? Remember Krishna, so that if you chant nicely for 2 hours, throughout the 24 hours, you can remember Krishna in your mind. That is the idea of chanting 16 rounds, 2 hours a day, at least 2 hours, 2.5 hours. That is the reason. Because sometimes when you vibrate something, sometimes you see, we hear some karmi song. And this karmi song is always in your head. The whole day the song is in your head. Now you cannot forget. and you're always humming that song. Why? It goes into the consciousness. So similarly, if you can chant the holy name nicely, if you can chant it with love and devotion, and it will remain in our mind throughout the whole day. That is the whole point of chanting nicely. And that's why Prabhupada said, please chant. And please chant nicely, not sleeping, you know, halfway, and chanting, thinking of other things in your life. No, no. At least the 2 hours, we have 24 hours, at least the 2 hours, or 2.5 hours, or even 3 hours, if you are a slow chanter. Chant nicely. Think of the name. Don't just chanting within yourself. Why? No, cannot. You should chant loudly enough for yourself to hear. And any other living entity around the vicinity also can hear. And they will be benefited also. And because they benefit, you get an extra point. Krishna gives you extra value point. Really? Oh, that because of your chanting, somebody else became a devotee. Even an ant became a devotee, a fly became a devotee, a mosquito became a devotee. Not maybe not in this life, but in the next life. Right? Because their karma, they know they came by accident, no? Maybe who knows, we were like that, who knows, huh? In our last life we probably were a snake or something. Somebody chanted and we became a devotee and a human. Who knows? We don't know. But we must have that compassion. We must develop that compassion to give this holy name to everybody. We cannot be selfish. We should not be selfish. We try and develop this compassion. Satyam, truthfulness, means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward manner, so that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief and people are warned that he is a thief, that is truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. Truth means, Prabhupada says, you speak the truth for the benefit of others, not for your own benefit, or not for the benefit of your close friends and relatives only. Or you don't say anything else if somebody comes and says, oh, no, we didn't do anything. No, cannot. Always speak the truth. Even if it is your own child, your own family member who done something wrong, we must speak the truth. So it is good for them. If you hide the truth, the child grows up to be ill-disciplined, a menace to society. So we should speak the truth. Always. Speaking the truth is good for you, good for the person who done wrong. Always speak the truth. This is very important. There are two kinds of truth. Again, one is relative truth, one is absolute truth. Relative truth is all the things that are happening within this material world. Absolute truth is Krishna. He is the only truth. There is nothing else besides but Krishna. He is the truth. What is truth? Krishna. Krishna su Bhagavan Swayam. That is absolute truth. And that is the only truth that we need to know. Because all the other truths in this material world is destroyed when the body is destroyed, when this universe is destroyed. But one truth remains. Past, present and future. Krishna. Krishna always remains. He never disappears. Our activities disappear, but our spiritual activities don't disappear. So therefore, we should engage in spiritual truth. Very important. We continue. Control of the senses means that the senses should not be used for unnecessary personal enjoyment. There is no prohibition against meeting the proper needs of the senses. But unnecessary sense enjoyment is detrimental for spiritual advancement. Therefore, the senses should be restrained from unnecessary use. Similarly, one should restrain the mind from unnecessary thoughts. That is called sama. One should not spend one's time pondering over earning money. That is a misuse of the thinking power. The mind should be used to understand the prime necessity of human beings, and that should be presented authoritatively. The power of thought should be developed in association with persons who are authorities in the scriptures, saintly persons and spiritual masters, and those whose thinking is highly developed. So first, control of senses. How to control? Our control running wild, no? No control at all. No, nothing. Yeah? Our senses are going running like havoc. There's a word, amok. Running amok. That means you don't know what you're doing. Take the knife, take gun, run around, kill people. That's called running amok. Sometimes people can subdue them, sometimes they cannot subdue, they shoot to kill. Our senses are running. What are we doing? Nothing. We never try to stop, we never try to shoot to kill also. We should control the senses. Everything is in the scriptures. Eating. What we eat. Prasadam. Even prasadam, initially, if you are a new devotee, you can eat as much as you want. No limit. My Guru Maharaj said, you are a new devotee, you eat. I'm full, Guru Maharaj. No, sorry, eat no more. Eat more. Why? Prasadam is a mercy of the Lord. As you eat more, you become more purified. But as you make advancement in spiritual life, even prasadam we should control. Because the tongue is the most difficult to control. If you can control the tongue, you can control everything else. You can control the belly, the stomach, right? You can control the genitals. Then you can control the mind. Otherwise, it's not possible to control. So therefore, control is important. Eating, sleeping, also control. Must control. Cannot just sleep like a bear. Bear, you know, sleep 6 months, you know, hibernation. Really, winter comes, all these animals, squirrel and bears and all the animals in the cold countries, they take food, you know, they collect very nicely, you know, collect, store, and then they build a nice cave or something, and they go and sleep. Some of us are like bears. We sleep 12 o'clock midnight, next day 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon wake up. I still see, I talk to so many of my friends and relatives, yes, yes, I wake up late. Sleep is good. No, that is not good. You lose, you are like an animal. There's no difference between you and animal. What is the difference? Early on we said you must have intelligence, right? What is our intelligence? We must sleep enough for our body to rejuvenate. Our body and mind must rejuvenate. Actually, 2 hours is enough. If our mind sleeps nicely, the body sleeps nicely. If our mind doesn't sleep, the body doesn't sleep. That's why when you get up in the morning, you say, I'm very tired. Because your mind is not sleeping nicely. Your mind is not rested. Why? Your mind is not controlled. It's agitated. There's no control over your mind. How you control the mind? You bring the mind to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Always think of Krishna. Do what Krishna wants. Then your mind becomes stable, peaceful. We are all looking for peace. Where is the peace? There is no peace in this world. everybody is fighting everybody else. It's Kali Yuga, you know. Everybody say one thing, do another thing. Hypocrisy. Always, because of hypocrisy, they quarrel. Right? Small stone in the ocean, everybody fighting over it. Oh, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. No, 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 it's mine. Nothing, this stone, this body, this earth, nothing belongs to us. And yet, we are so attached to all these things. We should control the mind. Think only of Krishna. Control the senses. Make sure that even you marry, you must control the senses. Not that marriage is a license for mating, sex. No. Marriage is a license to have Krishna conscious children. If you can have children who are Krishna conscious, then your life is successful. If you have rascals for children, what is your point of having children? Might as well don't have children. How to have nice children? Yeah, only God can give you this. So you must pray to God. That's how you control the senses. Mind, think of Krishna. Oh, Krishna, you please give me a good Krishna conscious child who will go back to Godhead. Who will take me back to Godhead also. Because I'm a fool. I can't go back myself. At least somebody who is a devotee, if he prays for me, then you know he can take it. If he is my child, then maybe he can take me back. But our duty as a parent should be there. We should raise Krishna conscious children. So everything is there. Control the mind, control the body. So and the other point is misusing the thinking power. So we are always thinking how to make money. Every day you are thinking. A lot of devotees join up. Because it's an opportunity to make advancement in material life. Can you imagine joining a spiritual organization to make advancement in material life? This is happening and we have seen it with our own eyes. A lot of them join because they got, you know, no other opportunity to progress in life. So they're always thinking, even though they're chanting Hare Krishna every day in the temple and all that, their mind is thinking, how much money I can make today? Oh, I wish I can sell 100 plates of prasadam. I hope I can distribute 100 paintings. I can distribute, you know, so many books. Even book distribution, they have made it into a business. It is not that Prabhupada said go and distribute books to make money, you know. Prabhupada said distribute books so that everybody knows about Krishna. Become Krishna conscious. Now no. Nowadays people say, oh, this temple is, oh, I have distributed 1,000 Bhagavatam sets. I've made so much Lakshmi. Yeah, joy! Number one temple in the world. Funny. They lost the purpose of distribution of books. They lost it. So it's a crazy world out there. So we must take care of ourselves. Take care of our spiritual life. Very important. We must always take shelter of the book, Bhagavadam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, advanced devotees, and the Shastras, and your Guru. If Guru not around, a lot of people say, oh, my Guru is no more here. I've been initiated, I don't need to take any more shelter of anybody. Wrong. Must take shelter. How advanced are we? Look at ourselves inside our heart. If you don't like to look at yourself in front of so many people, go to your home, lock yourself in the room, look in the mirror and say, Haribo Prabhu, how much advance are you? How much advance have I made? Advancement have I made? If I made any advancement at all, I've been here 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Have I made any advancement? Do I need someone to guide me? Be truthful. Yes, we all need. Some people will need more guidance, some people will need less guidance. But all of us need guidance. Unless your Paramahamsa like Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you know, even Prabhupada said he took association of Krishna and Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, but he took association on a different level, different platform. We can't do that. Maybe some of you can, I don't know, but I definitely cannot take that. So we need to take association of devotees, association of advanced devotees. Doesn't matter who. That's why, you know, our ego, you know, our false ego stops us. Haripol, you already take initiation, no? Why you don't take these instructions from that Prabhu? That Prabhu not advanced, you know. This is the mind and people trying to stop you. No. You be honest with yourself. If you're honest with yourself, then you say, yes, I need association. I need guidance. I need people to tell me what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Then we make advancement. Otherwise, our mind tells us so many things. Oh, do this, do that, do this, do that. It's a problem, you know. Even King Bharat, yesterday we were talking, King Bharata, he went to the forest to meditate on Sri Krishna. He was doing well. He made so much advancement. He was able to give up all his material desires of ruling the country. All the kingdom, his beautiful wife, children, everything he can give up. He was coming up nicely. Very nice advancement he was making. Then suddenly he saw this deer, baby deer. He got this baby deer. The baby deer got no mother, died already, the mother died. So he says, oh, I'm a devotee, I'm compassionate. Wow, I'm compassionate. I will look after this deer. So he took the deer. He fed it, he looked after it, bathed it, gave it prasadam, everything. Very nicely he looked after. He looked after so nicely that he forgot what to do about Krishna. He forgot it. All his devotional service he forgot, totally he forgot. He gave up everything. Every day he was with the deer. He slept with the deer, he kissed the deer, he put the deer in the bed and everything. Nowadays, don't laugh. Nowadays people having puppies and dogs in their bed with them. And cats and what have you. Some people even have snakes in their bed. I'm not joking, this is a fact. Last time when I was in university, I was in one room. And suddenly I saw this snake in my room. Wow, I was scared, you know. I see snake, I got scared, right? I ran out. Where did this snake come from? We make noise, got some friends, we wanted to kill it. We came back and one boy runs, comes and says, hey, stop, 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 don't kill, don't kill. Why? It's my snake. How can you have a snake? Oh yeah, I have it in my room. In my own room, in my own bed. Can you imagine? So, this is life. This already happened long ago. King Bharat did the same thing. So what happened? He forgot about Krishna. One day he went into the forest looking for the deer because the deer didn't come back. He was so sad. He's crying, oh, where's my deer? Where's my deer? Sometimes you can understand that, right? The child doesn't come back from school, all of us becomes very scared. Oh, my child, what happened? Didn't come. School bus never come. Where? Like that Bharat, King Bharat was thinking, where's my deer? He cried and he went out in the dark looking for the deer. Can you imagine? And he fell because the, you know, forest, you know, he fell in the forest and broke his head, almost died, or rather he was dying. Suddenly the deer came and he was happy. Oh, my deer is there. The deer licked him. Yes. And he died. Thinking of the deer. And next life, what happened? He got the body of a deer. You have a dog, better don't be too attached. You have a cat, you know. Just imagine what your next life will be. Be careful, huh? So we have to be intelligent, you know. We cannot, you know, can't do this. Sukham, pleasure or happiness, should always be in that which is favorable for the cultivation of the spiritual of knowledge of Krishna. And similarly, that which is painful or which causes distress is that which is unfavorable for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Anything favorable for the development of Krishna consciousness should be accepted Everything unfavorable should be rejected. Bad association should be rejected. Anybody tell you, don't go to Hare Krishna, throw them out. Anybody say, go to Hare Krishna, keep them in. That is a fact. Anybody say, take prasadam, accept. Anybody say, eat meat, kick them out. You must, why? Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. This is the basic. Always do things that will help you remember Krishna. Always reject things that will not help you remember Krishna. Very important. So this is there. Bhava, birth should be understood to refer to the body. As far as the soul is concerned, there is neither birth nor death that we have discussed in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Birth and death apply to one's embodiment in the material world. So we have already covered this. We are saying that we are not this body. We are the soul. So for the soul, there is no birth. Only the body takes birth. The soul enters the body. The body is never, the soul is never born. It's always eternal. It's always been existent. Only when we come into this material world, we have different bodies. But when you're in the spiritual world, you have the spiritual body which doesn't change. Only in the material world there is past, present and future. In the spiritual world there is no time. Only in this material world there is time. Because there is time, there is birth. Because there is time, there is death. Those who are born must die. Those who die must take birth. This is the truth. Cannot run from this truth. Sorry to say. Heavy, but have to be said. You are born, you die. You die, you are born. How to stop? Go back to God. Krishna, eternal life, then you stop this birth and death. Fear is due to worrying about the future. A person in Krishna consciousness has no fear because by his activities he is sure to go back to the spiritual sky, back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, his future is very bright. Others, however, do not know what their future holds. They have no knowledge what the next life holds. So they are therefore in constant anxiety. If we want to get free from anxiety, then the best course is to understand Krishna and be situated always in Krishna consciousness. In that way, we will be free from all fear. Prabhupada already gives you a very nice explanation why we are fearful. We are always scared because we don't know what is going to happen next. We don't know whether we are going to, you know, animal life, what's going to happen. So some people, they say, oh, this is only one life. I die, no more already. So that's another way of conquering their fear. So they don't know what is going to happen, but they say this way. But they got no authority to say such things. Where's the authority to say that there's no life after this? No authority. Where's nothing? But Krishna says there is a life. So because deep in our heart we know something is going to happen, we do wrong. Right? We do wrong, is there fear in our heart? Yes, we fear. We fear we did something wrong. We don't even have to fear the authorities. We fear our own conscience. Consciousness is there. If we are fearful of that. We did something wrong. Therefore we are fearful. We don't know what is going to happen. To negate this fear, do something that is always right. And that right is always Krishna. Any way you look at it, it's always Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.237, it is stated, Bhayam vitiya vini vesata syat. Fear is caused by absorption in the illusory energy. But those who are free from the illusory energy, those who are confident that they are not the material body, that they are spiritual parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who are therefore engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, have nothing to fear. Their future is very bright. This fear is a condition of person who are not in Krishna consciousness. Abhayam, fearlessness, is possible only for one in Krishna consciousness. Right? Krishna is Krishna. Prabhupada says this so nicely in this paragraph. Ahimsa, non-violence, means that one should not do anything which will put others into misery or confusion. Material activities that are promised by so many politicians, socialists, sociologists, philanthropists, etc. do not produce very good results because the politicians and philanthropists have no transcendental vision. They do not know what is actually beneficial for human society. Ahimsa means that people should be trained in such a way that the full utilization of the human body can be achieved. The human body is meant for spiritual realization. So any movement or any commissions which do not further that end commit violence on the human body. That which furthers the future spiritual happiness of the people in general is called non-violence. Non-violence doesn't mean that you don't kill animals or you don't kill people. Non-violence means don't misuse this human body. This human body is to use for Krishna consciousness, to develop our devotional service. If you don't do that, that means you're committing violence to your own body. They were given to you. It is called violence. You're actually killing. You have wasted the whole opportunity of this human life. That means you're committing suicide. Actually committing suicide. Because you haven't used the body for your spiritual advancement. You didn't use this human body to go back to God, to Krishna, to know how to go back. We didn't use it. So if you didn't use it, it's wasted. If you wasted means you have committed suicide. It's the same. Samatha, equanimity, refers to freedom from attachment and aversion. To be very much attached or to be very much detached, if not the best. This material world should be accepted without attachment or aversion. That which is favorable for prosecuting Krishna consciousness should be accepted. That which is unfavorable should be rejected. We already spoken about this. That is called samatha, equanimity. A person in Krishna consciousness has nothing to reject, nothing to accept, save in terms of its usefulness in the prosecution of Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna conscious persons are very unique in the sense that whatever is in this material world, we can use it for Krishna's purpose, for Krishna's satisfaction. So sometimes we use this mic. All these are material creation. But we use it for Krishna. We don't use it to talk nonsense or sing nonsense songs and all that stuff. But we use this to propagate so that everybody can hear about Krishna. We use different technologies to propagate Krishna consciousness. We have nice buildings. We don't have to live in an attached house, a grass hut. We don't have to. We make it feasible, nice for Krishna to live and for us to preach Krishna consciousness. We take a plane so that we can reach other countries faster so we can preach about Krishna. We must use everything for Krishna consciousness. That is the meaning of this material world. Whatever is in this material world, we use it for Krishna. Tushti, satisfaction, means that one should not be eager to gather more and more material goods by unnecessary activity. One should be satisfied with whatever is obtained by the grace of the Supreme Lord. That is called satisfaction. That means we should be happy with whatever we get. We shouldn't have extra endeavor. To say, I want more. No. Whatever Krishna has given through our activity, that is enough. You shouldn't desire more than that. Tapas means austerity or penance. There are many rules and regulations in the Vedas which apply here. Like rising early in the morning and taking a bath. We already talked about that. We must rise early. Rising early is tapas here. No? It's a penance, it's austerity. Bathing also, not easy. A lot of people don't bathe in the morning. They just get up, put on their clothes, go to work. Bathing and brushing teeth and all that, a lot of work, you know. Plus, I save water. It's true, right? Now, you know, global warming, not enough water. So I am doing my part to help. That is foolishness. That is foolishness. You must learn how to save water. People, they don't even understand. When they brush their teeth, the water is running. The tap is running, they still wash. Water is running when they are taking the bath. Shower is running when they are still taking the bath. All this wasting, they don't see that. They will see, I don't bathe in the morning, that is more important. So, sometimes it is very troublesome to rise in the morning, but whatever voluntary troubles one may suffer in this way is called penance. Similarly, there are prescriptions for fasting on certain days of the month. Fasting like Ekadesi, Chaturmasya, 4 months of tapasya and austerity we perform. Janmasthami, like that. This is tapasya. Why? Not that you anyhow fast, you know. Not that you fast and say, oh, the government didn't give me something. I will fast to death until you give me something. No, that is ignorance, foolishness. Fasting is for spiritual advancement, to remember God, not for political reasons, you know. That's ridiculous nonsense. The Prabhupada explains here actually, because of this determination to make advancement in the science of Krishna consciousness, you should accept such bodily troubles when they are recommended. However, one should not fast unnecessarily or against Vedic injunction. One should not fast for some political purpose. That is described in the Bhagavad Gita as fasting in ignorance. And anything done in ignorance and passion does not lead to spiritual advancement. Everything done in the mode of goodness does advance one, however, and fasting done in terms of the Vedic injunctions enriches one in spiritual knowledge. As far as charity is concerned, one should give 50% as earning to some good cause. What is that good cause? It is that which is conducted in terms of Krishna consciousness. That is not only a good cause, but the best cause. Because Krishna is good, his cause is also good. Thus charity should be given to a person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness. According to Vedic literature, it is enjoined that charity should be given to Brahmanas. This practice is still followed, although not very nicely, in terms of the Vedic injunction. But still, the injunction is that charity should be given to the Brahmanas. Why? Because they are engaged in higher cultivation of spiritual knowledge. A Brahmana is supposed to devote his entire life to understanding Brahman. Brahma jhanati iti brahmanaha. One who knows Brahman is called Brahmana. Thus charity is offered to the Brahmanas because they are always engaged in higher spiritual service and have no time to earn their livelihood. In the Vedic literature, charity is also to be awarded to one in the renounced order of the life, the sannyasi. The sannyasi is begged from door to door, not for money, but for missionary purposes. The system is that they go from door to door to awaken the householders from the slumber of ignorance. Because the householders are engaged in family affairs and have forgotten their actual purpose of life, awakening their Krishna consciousness, it is the business of the sannyasis to go as beggars to the householders and encourage them to be Krishna consciousness. Encourage them to be Krishna conscious. And as it is said in the Vedas, one should awake and achieve what is due him in this human form of life. This knowledge and method is distributed by the sannyasis. Hence, charity is to be given to the renouncer of life, to the brahmanas and similar good causes, not to any whimsical cause. Yes's fame should be according to Lord Chaitanya, who said that a man is famous when he is known as a great devotee. That is real fame. If one has become a great man in Krishna consciousness and it is known, then he is truly famous. One who does not have such fame is infamous. Prabhupada is famous because he distributed Krishna consciousness. All these qualities are manifest throughout the universe in human society and in the society of demigods. There are many forms of humanity on other planets, and these qualities are there. There are 400,000 species of human beings. Now, for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates these qualities. But the person develops himself from within. So what? You're Krishna conscious, Krishna will give you the qualities. But you must develop these qualities. How do you develop these qualities? You must take up devotional service. By taking up devotional service, automatically all these good qualities that Krishna is talking about become ornaments on your body. They will come to your doorstep and beg you, Haribol, please accept me. Accept me. All these qualities come automatically. You don't have to do, I must be equal. Okay, I must be equal. I must be, famous, I will preach. No, I must be sama. No. You cannot do that. Automatically it comes when you become Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness develops these qualities. You don't have to do anything extra. Take up Krishna consciousness, all good qualities come to you. One who engages in devotional service of the Supreme Lord, One who engages in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord develops all the good qualities as arranged by the Supreme Lord. Of whatever we find, good or bad, the origin is Krishna. Nothing can manifest in this material world which is not in Krishna. That is knowledge. Although we know that things are differently situated, we should realize that everything flows from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. This goodness quality, bad quality, everything comes from Krishna. So we must accept Krishna because he will give you the good qualities if you are Krishna consciousness. So knowing all these things, scholarship is no use. By reading, by doing all this, Vishwanatha Chakravarti in his commentary to this verse said, this is no use of knowing all these things. The only thing you must learn is how to serve the Vaishnavas. And under the Vaishnavas, learn to read. Read the Bhagavad Gita, read Bhagavatam, and then Krishna reveals his true form to you. Then you become a devotee. Then you see Krishna as he is. Then you go back to Godhead. We're running out of time. This verse you can talk and talk and talk and talk for many, 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 many hours. But we shall stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments or anything I've said wrong, you can correct me. I stand corrected. Haribo? There are no questions.
Struggling to overcome this.
Yes.
So, what is the practical, you know, what is the practical standard that we need to set for, you know, achieving this?
What is the practical?
Yeah, what is the practical? Because these qualities as such, in our practical daily experience, we still find that these anarthas are still remaining in us. So, what is the practical approach for this?
Prabhuji is asking, this is idealistic, how to do? Simple answer is, like I said, Prabhupada also said, you have to take up devotional service. And you have to, you see, you take up devotional service with determination. Because, like I said, we have been born in this material world millions and millions and millions and millions of times. And the covering of the soul is very difficult to clear. Very difficult. But the easy process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given is chanting the holy name. By chanting. The story, okay, Mirgari. Look at Mirgari. You know the story of Mirgari, no? He's a hunter. Now this hunter, not an ordinary hunter. His father was a hunter also. So his father gave him the skill. Expert hunter. He hunted all kinds of animals, and all animals that came into his view died. Definite, sure die one. But this guy, he was not satisfied by just killing. He went one step further. He wanted to see the animals suffer before he died. So he will kill in such a way that the animal will have a lot of suffering before finally, many hours later, he dies. Can you imagine what kind of person this Mirgari is? Very terrible person. But this person, one day, Narada Muni came and told him, why are you doing this? Don't do this. Just stop this and become devotee. But Mirgari, you know, gave all kinds of excuses. He said, how am I going to support myself? How am I going to support my family? Narada Muni said, no, you just do the Krishna conscious activity and you will see. So Mirgari said, okay, I will try. I will try. He tried. He went to the edge of the village. He set up a hut. He started praying the tulsi. He did very nice service. Slowly, all the devotees, the villagers and all that, you know, they saw, hey, is there a change? He stopped killing all animals altogether, not even doing anything. So they started helping him. And he became a devotee. And one day when Narada Muni came back, he saw his Guru Maharaj, you know, I'm cutting short the story. He came, and when he came to meet his Guru Maharaj, he was hopping, one leg, he was hopping before he reached Narada Muni. Why? And then Narada Muni said, why are you doing this? Why can't you walk straight? Why normal person, no, walk to me? Oh, Guru Maharaj, so sorry, no, because as I was walking, I saw all the ants on the ground. So I was trying to avoid killing the ants. So, the point is, Mirgari was such a rascal, such a horrible person, taking up devotional service, he became such a nice person. He valued all the life, even in an ant, he valued the life. The point is, you must take up sincerely, first of all. Secondly, with determination. Of course, we do not see results so soon. Sometimes, Krishna does not reveal anything until your deathbed. Like Ajamil. Ajamil was a Brahmana when he was a young boy, young man. But after that, he fell down. He totally forgot about Krishna. But when he was about to die, he chanted, Krishna, Narayan. And Krishna still came and helped him. So we must not lose heart if we see that we are not making any advancement. But of course, if you make advancement, you can see that you are making advancement. But we shouldn't lose heart. Only reason we may not be making any advancement and we don't see we are making advancement is because we commit aparad. We commit offenses at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Then you do not make advancement. Then the mind says, oh Prabhu, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, you don't have to chant, you don't have to do that. And therefore your advancement is stifled. If it is stifled, you cannot go forward anymore. So we must be careful following our four regulative principles. We must be careful following our Guru's order, what the Guru said. Prabhupada says in one of the purports that if you can follow the order of the Guru, then you are safe. The Guru's order is the same as Krishna's order, and if you are following that order, you have no worries. You don't have to worry. You will be saved. You will go back to Godhead. You may not realize God, or you may not display the ecstatic symptoms of a devotee. Not necessary. But Krishna is observing and he's saying, he's looking. He says, okay, this Prabhu, you know, he's done so much. At the end of life, maybe you can, Krishna will come and help you. Krishna carries what you lack. He preserves what you have. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? So Krishna is kind. Don't, you see, this kind of thing, when we have doubt, that means we don't accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why we have doubt. For the doubting mind, there's no peace in this world or the next. It's also in the Bhagavad Gita. So we must have strong, firm faith in Guru and Krishna. Very strong. No matter what happens, Krishna is there. No matter what happens, Guru is there. We may not feel that we are making advancement. Doesn't matter. Guru sees, yes, you are making advancement. Vaishnava sees, yes, you are making advancement. Krishna sees, yes, you are making advancement. They have to see. You have to act such that they see you. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said this. Act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. Oh yes, yes, this great devotee, I want to see him. Krishna wants, Krishna will run and see you. Act this way. Perform duties, then Krishna will come. We don't have to worry. Once you know that you are not the body, once you know you are the soul, rest is easy. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about all the other things. Yes, thoughts are there, bad thoughts are there. I want more money, I want bigger house, I want beautiful wife, I want this, I want that. So many things we desire. All these desires are there. But like I said, Prabhupada said, channel the desire. Marry a Krishna conscious wife, beautiful one, yes, take, go. Get money, work hard. Nobody is stopping you. More money, yes, take. 50% give to Krishna. Because Krishna give you one. Right? At first you didn't have any money, you pray to Krishna, Krishna give you something, oh, all this is mine. No. At first you didn't have anything. You prayed so hard, Krishna give you a good job and more money. And then you say, no. Now my expenses have gone up. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Before that, where's the expenses? You didn't have any expenses. Now you say you have expenses. No. You have money. Krishna has given you the money. Put aside what? In fact, not only 50%. If before Krishna give you money, you lived on X dollars, $1,000. Krishna has given you $5,000. You should still live on $1,000 and give the $4,000 to Krishna. That is the right way of living. Not that it's, oh, 50%, oh yes, I got 2,500 for Krishna. No. We should always think how to give back to Krishna. Then our senses are controlled. Everything you do, you say, everything, you marry, you have children, everything should be for Krishna. Not that you want, oh, beautiful children, beautiful. Yes, beautiful children, Krishna conscious children. Children are for Krishna, not for you. Everybody is an individual soul. What is the relationship with your children? No, nothing. Last life, where were you? Where were your children? Different souls, different. Next life was different soul. Only this life you say, this is my father, my grandfather, my children and all the other nonsense. Everybody dies, goes different places. Just like the waves, it brings all the sand together, the wave goes out, all the sands go out. Different sand, all different. All come together for the short duration of time. You say, yes, my friend, my wife, my child. No, only for short period. So we must use our intelligence and say, all this is Krishna's, not ours. So we should be intelligent and shouldn't be despondent that we don't make any progress. We always make progress when you chant Hare Krishna. You take prasadam, you always will make progress. You are making progress. Do not worry. Okay, Haribo? Any other question? If there's nothing more, we shall stop here. And have a short kirtan, if possible, and honor prasadam. Prasadam is good for our souls. Thank you. Grantharat Bhagavad Gita ki
jai.
Yeah.